for giving us the opportunity to present the department's quarterly report. It's our first quarterly report. Chair, we have a delegation from the department present, and I'm going to quickly introduce them. We have Mr. Duman Kosi, who's Chief Director in our Economic Planning Branch. Looking at the back, we've got Dr. Snelling Taylor, who's Chief Director in Social Dialogue. Mr. Opa Bodibi, who's Chief Director in Planning, right behind me. Then Mr. Molefi Mabatsomela, sitting over here, who's our Chief Director for Human Resources. Mr. Peter Williams, sitting next to Mr. Molefi, who's also a Chief Director in the Office of the DG. And then Mr. Zweli Momeka, sitting next to me, who's the Chief Financial Officer. And then we've got two colleagues who recently joined the department. Ms. Ayanda Shezi, over on my right-hand side, she's the Minister's Media Liaison Officer. And next to her is Mr. Dougie Oakes, who's the Communications Head in the department. And then we also have Mr. Andrew Macheki, who's Chief Director for Policy, sitting behind Ms. Shezi. And then we've got Ms. Rafilwe Ugudi, who's from the Office of the DG. So that's the delegation for today's chairperson.
President, I'm glad I think we're compared to the same as you said, but for us to move quickly, I'll ask them to introduce themselves. I think it's quicker than doing.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Lulama Smart Ngwanyama, from the Congress of the People. I thank you.
Good morning, my name is Hussein, a member of the committee.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Mkule Wetlema from the ISP.
Shikamba Mamabasa, ANC.
Ndawa Tawaza, member of committee, ANC.
Hi, Sri Fantanava, ANC.
So, Desi, acting chair.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. As you've indicated, Chair, I wish to firstly thank the committee again for the opportunity. We have come here today to present the first quarterly report and to engage with the committee on the performance of the department for the first period of 2012-2013. We appreciate this opportunity and we also welcome guidance and support from the committee in terms of how we move forward. Chair, I want to start off by firstly conveying apologies from the Minister and Deputy Minister of Economic Development, who are not in a position to be present with us this morning. I did engage with the chairperson and the whip to convey the apologies and to indicate that they are unable to be present. They've asked me to wish the committee well and convey warm greetings. Chair, by way of introduction, during the period April to June of this year, the department has been actively involved in implementing various programs and responsibilities of the department. In many cases, the target set for the department in its annual performance plans were exceeded during this period. Where this was not the case, the targets will be rolled over the subsequent quarters in this financial year, and we are confident that during the course of this year, the objectives we set ourselves will be met. We are looking forward to the engagement with the committee today and would be happy to receive your inputs and comments and suggestions. Before the formal presentation, I would like to give the committee an idea of some of the most critical achievements of the department during this period. As you know, the objective of the money voted through Vote 28 of the EDD is to promote economic development through participatory, coherent and coordinated economic policy and planning for the benefit of all South Africans. In this regard, the department spearheaded the development and adoption of the new growth path in 2010. Subsequently, the department played a critical role in building on one of the key job drivers in the NGP, namely infrastructure development, that led to the appointment of the Presidential Infrastructure Coordinating Commission in 2011 and the announcement of the National Infrastructure Plan earlier this year. As colleagues would know, our minister chairs the secretariat of the PICC on behalf of Cabinet and the Presidency. We believe that this National Infrastructure Plan represents a bold, strategic and integrated platform to mobilize the state, private investors and the broader South African public behind a clearly articulated storyline of South Africa's opportunities. Chair, some of the highlights during the first quarter for the department included the annual EDD conference this year that focused on infrastructure development as a job driver. It brought together a range of national stakeholders and Professor Stiglitz, a member of the EDD Economic Advisory Panel, was one of the main speakers. This conference took place in Gauteng on the 19th and 20th of April. The second area was the preparatory work of the department in support of small business during the 2010-2011 financial year, which culminated in the launch of CEFA, the Small Enterprise Finance Agency, also in April of this year. Cabinet appointed a new board under the leadership of Mr. Deka Rensberg, and the agency has been engaged during the first quarter with finalizing their plans and strategies to ensure financing for small enterprises that are less of a burden. Now, we have agreed with the committee that we will present the corporate plan of CEFA at a meeting still to be determined of this committee. Chair, also during this period, the economic development and our dialogue branch of the department were extensively engaged in the campaign to ensure that government departments and entities pay their suppliers in 30 days. Similarly, groundwork has been done effectively to monitor the implementation of the four accords that the department facilitated and signed during the 2010-2011 year with key stakeholders, business, organized labor, community representatives, and government, which led to the signing of the skills accord, Basic Education Accord, the Local Procurement Accord, and the Green Economy Accord. So, Chair, by way of introduction, that was some of the key milestones. And then moving into the actual presentation, we will basically report on the performance of our three branches, Economic Policy Development, economic planning and coordination, and economic development and dialogue. We will report on the progress against the estimates of national expenditure, known as the E&D targets. We will report on human resources, our financial performance, and then some concluding remarks. Honorable Chairperson, the financial component, I will request the CFO to present that to the committee. Moving on to the first program under economic policy development. As I indicated, the department hosted the conference held on the 19th of April. The theme of the conference was infrastructure and development, the opportunity to present the national infrastructure plan. There was a high-level participation from government, business, labor, academia, and community representatives, including the chairperson of the portfolio committee. As I indicated in my introductory remarks, Professor Joseph Stiglitz was the keynote speaker, and we are currently finalizing the proceedings of that conference, and it will be developed into a booklet. And once it's available, we will send copies for members of the committee. The regulatory impact process reviewed aligned with the NGP. We developed guidelines for social economic impact assessment systems. This should help to focus attention on employment creation, equity and growth. And in the coming months, we will collaborate to develop expertise and best practice to these. And then we also link to the broader effort to sensitize departments to employment and economic impact. We also head up the outcome 4 process as EDD together with a number of other departments and ministers. We prepare a quarterly report with National Treasury and the DTI, and these quarterly reports are submitted to Cabinet for consideration and discussion and approval. While satisfactory progress has been made on employment creation, we must stress that there are a number of risks arising as a result of the global showdown, and there's a need to do more to manage administered input and food prices. We also participate in an interministerial committee around food pricing, which is headed by the Department of Agriculture and Fisheries and Forestry. Moving on to the policy platforms, we launched the financialization project with the UNDESA and the CSID. These are international agencies which included participation by leading national and international experts. The major findings relate to the unusually high level of portfolio capital flows compared to other middle-income economies and very rapid growth in the financial sector with limited employment creation. Support for the International Economic Association meeting on industrial policy in Africa, led by Professor Stiglitz and the World Bank's Justin Lin, with local and international experts, were also held. And a platform was held with the Social Dialogue branch of EDD on the role of government policy in promoting SMMEs, and we had a wide range of speakers from the NPC, the SA Entrepreneur, and SALGA, the South African Local Government Association. Other outputs related to our work in the Economic Policy Development Branch was that we provided support for engagements at NEDLAC on a multi-pronged youth employment strategy. Key initiatives proposed include public employment schemes with youth brigades, expanded apprentices and internships, targets for new entrants in job drivers, and we also explored subsidies to employment creators and employees. We prepared notes on the financialization of the South African economy and prepared a draft discussion paper on inequality, and this will be finalized by the end of this month. And again, once it's been approved by the executive authority, we will be able to make that available. Inputs were also made for major speeches on women and the new growth path, and we also made submissions on the proposed amendments to the broad-based Black Economic Empowerment Code to the minister, which was subsequently fed into the interministerial process and then to cabinet. Moving on to economic planning and coordination, a key focus in this area was around spatial planning. We worked closely with the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform and the CSIR to identify functional regions as a basis for improving spatial integration. And this is ongoing work that we are doing on an interdepartmental basis and with other entities. We identified the key value chains and other opportunities for linking historically marginalized regions into the core economy. And the basis for planning for infrastructure through the SEZs and provincial growth and development strategies. And the EDD team working on this have had a number of engagements with provinces in the different provinces. We also worked on the 23 poorest districts with the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform and the PICC. And key to this and central to this was improving opportunities in former so-called homelands. The second key area was around growing the green economy, Honourable Chair. The department chairs an interdepartmental committee for the rollout of solar water heaters. Other departments that participate in this committee include the Department of Energy, the Department of Public Enterprises, the DTI, and then we have entities such as the IDC, the DBSA, ESCOM, and we monitor and review the rollout of solar water heaters and manage and work towards ensuring that we are able to meet the 1 million rollout that the government has committed to. At the time that we prepared this report, the total number of solar water heaters installed in collaboration with the Department of Energy and ESCOM was about 287,000. Yesterday we received a report and that figure has now raised to 292,000. Of these 287,000, Chair, 50,000 were low pressure solar water heaters that are affordable for low income households and working with those role players towards the local production of panels. We will continuously update our work around the rollout of the solar water heaters, and in the next quarter we will give the committee a further update on the progress towards reaching the 1 million there is support for Redcap, InnoWind and Pico Energy. These are projects to provide clean energy that, if it is successful, it will support growth and employment in the Eastern Cape. We also participate in an interdepartmental process to ensure coherent implementation of green economy strategies in ways that support employment creation and SMEs, and to improve modeling of the transition to a lower emissions economy. Chair, the next area under economic planning and coordination is around promoting investment for economic development. We've supported and given support for catalytic projects, including the Rise Up Co-op Bakeries. As I said in my introduction, we launched CIPA in April 2012, and through this, we doubled the availability of resources for SMEs, both through direct lending and through intermediaries. Targeted support given for micro and survivalist enterprise, as well as for small and medium enterprises. We also entered into a partnership with the South African Institute for Chartered Accountants to improve employment opportunities for young accountants, while at the same time supporting the SMEs. And we continue to work with the IDC to support employment-creating growth aligned with the NGP and IPAC. As part of our process of engaging our entities, I chair a meeting, a quarterly meeting, with other EDG staff, with the entities that report to us. So the meeting would be with the CEOs, CFOs, and executives of those entities, which include ITAC, the Competition Commission, the Competition Tribunal, the IDC, and CIFA. The fourth area is around special financing by the IDC. A total of 165.8 million rand was disbursed during this quarter to 8 companies. Through this process, 426 jobs were saved or created at a cost of about 389,202 rand per job. The IDC also gave 4.9 billion rand to 128 companies through its distress fund, and the IDC transferred 42.2 million rand to CIFA for their programs, and the transfers to the IDC was 36 million rand during this period. Leveraging state expenditure and procurement, we have been engaging with the Department of Energy on the Appliance Standard and Labeling Project, and around procurement, National Treasury signed 5 instruction notes on the designated sectors. The fifth area under economic planning and coordination was around the implementation of the National Infrastructure Plan led by the PICC. During this period, 7 SIPs were launched at various intergovernmental forums. The aim of these launches was to bring together different stakeholders within the state to ensure coordination around the SIPs, to identify the lead agency that will coordinate the SIPs and drive its implementation program. Some of these engagements were attended by the President, Deputy President, Ministers, Deputy Ministers, Premiers, Executive Mayors, representatives of the South African Local Government Association, provide quarterly reports on the progress that has been made around the PICC work. Honourable Chair and members, the sixth area under planning and coordination goes to the area of African regional development and our strategic trade policy. The department participated in a consultative forum on the 15th of March and 13th June as preparation for the Rio Plus 20 summit, and discussion centered on South Africa's input to the summit, and we had an official from the department who attended the summit. We also participated in preparation for the fifth forum on China-Africa cooperation, and this process clarified South Africa's position in preparation for the forum. We also worked closely and collaborated with National Treasury, the DTI and DERCO in compiling a BRICS country strategy for South Africa. We focused on issues that inform the elements of South Africa's economic strategy towards BRICS countries. And we also collaborated and worked with the DTI, DERCO, the Development Bank of South Africa and DPE in about six meetings regarding the North-South Corridor infrastructure work, and meetings took place during February, May and June. Honourable Chair, moving on to the third area of work around economic development and dialogue. The department was involved in a number of social dialogue and capacity building engagements. A task team meeting on the 29th of June with a number of social partners were held to update them on the development of the National Skills Accord. We've been working closely with the Department of Higher Education, and we also met with the Proudly South Africa team at Nedlac House on the 31st of May to outline and ratify the implementation plan of the local procurement accord as it relates to Proudly South Africa and its implementing bodies. A number of information sessions were also held with regional businesses in Mpumalanga, Western Cape, and KZN on local procurement and the various accords. We also did a presentation to the Tusanko and the Women's Coalition on the local procurement accord and their constituency's role in marketing and implementing the procurement accord. We also had discussions with the South African Council of Churches and Diakonia on the local procurement accord and the church's role in the implementation of the commitments that have been made. The department also held a policy platform on infrastructure, which was addressed by business, labour and government and community leaders. Chair, the second area was around dialogue with organised labour and social partners and with specific reference to capacity building. We held three workshops on the new growth path and the social accord. Through that, a number of interventions were made to create or save jobs. This was as a result of the 30-day payment campaign rolled out across the country with provincial and national departments. And the objective here was to sensitize government departments, both nationally and provincially, to the effects of late payments to service providers and to SMMEs. We also had an agreement with a shoe manufacturing cooperative, Ujima Bakwena, and suppliers chair and members will recall, during the minister's budget vote, a number of agreements were signed during that period, and the one with proudly South Africa and Ujima Bakwena were just two of about 11 agreements that were signed at the time. And then we also partnering with Proudly South Africa to present many exhibitions and buy local marketing events across the country. The third key area under economic development and dialogue relates to the knowledge networks and the work that we've done around that. We held two knowledge network sessions, and the first one was on the role of government policy in promoting small businesses in South Africa, and the second one was on planning in South Africa as a tool for public investment decisions. We also entered into a number of economic development agreements. At the steering committee meeting with the Western Cape Furniture Initiative on 27th March, we discussed the development of an agreement with the furniture industry. We signed an agreement with Bantix, committing the company to discount its prices of locally made folders. And as EDD, we only buy our folders from locally manufactured companies such as Bantix. We also signed the agreement with Proudly South Africa to implement the Buy Local program in terms of the local procurement accord. We also presented to this committee on the objectives, content, and implementation of the local procurement accord a few months ago. Okay, moving on to the E&E targets for 2012-13, I'm going to hand over to the CFO to present that, and then we will come back to the human resource issues.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. Honorable Chair, honorable members, my colleagues, ladies and gentlemen. On an annual basis, before the beginning of the financial year, the Minister of Finance...
I'd like to check if members would like us to interact with the first presentation before there's the second one, or wait for all of this one. Sometimes we, a confusion in come up with questions when there's so many presentations. Can you hear from you, Gavin?
Chair, I suggest that we take a call in so that we have a holistic picture of the department's activities before we can engage.
Okay,
sir.
Can continue, thank you.
Thank you, Chair. At the beginning of the financial year, before the beginning of the financial year, a budget is usually prepared, and in that budget, there is an estimate of national expenditure sections that is included in the budget documentation. And the departments are basically expected to give high-level targets that they would like to report on. So I'm going to take the House through those targets. The first one is the number of regulatory impact assessments, basically on the NGP outcome. We had a... if we can clarify just on the concept, so that as the presentation goes on, one is very clear on this high level and target. Am I up for that?
Do you want us to explain what the E&E is? Okay. Well, you can explain the E&E and the background to that.
The basically E&E targets are targets that are informed by targets that are in the annual performance plan, the APP.
only on the ELE, will that include the high level, if I were to put it. But these are not the only targets that the department has, and all the targets are basically contained in the detailed document. So I'm basically taking you through the high level targets as per the ELE. Members will remember that when the Minister of Finance tables the budget, each and every vote has a chapter in the ELE. The first part of the chapter will have a high-level summary of the budget, but it will also have a high-level summary of performance information. So I'm basically taking the members through that information. Is that
correct?
Thank you. Yeah, the first one is a number of regulatory impact assessment on the MGP outcomes. We have an annual of one target, and that target was basically achieved in the first quarter. We also have the second ENE target, is a number of sector strategies produced, reviewed, as well as monitored. The annual target is a total of two, and as at the first quarter of the financial year, the department had not achieved the target. Number of interventions promoting economic development through leveraging of state asset expenditure procurement, we've got 12, and two of the 12 had been achieved at the end of the first quarter. We also have the total value of special financing facilitated for small businesses, targeted growth sectors, and companies in distress. We have an annual target of 5 billion rand, and we then had a target for the first quarter of 1.25 billion, but we only achieved 166 million to the rounded. Then we also had, we have a number of special plans produced or reviewed, 15 for the whole financial year, but for the quarter we have a target, first quarter have a target of 2, and 4 had been achieved. Number of reports on the implementation of the Green Economy Strategy, annual target of 2, at the end of the first quarter none had been achieved. We didn't have a target also for the quarter. So average it will probably be 1 per 6 months. Number of interventions to save or create new jobs per year. We have an annual target of 4, and we only had a target for the quarter of 114 had been achieved. Number of social dialogue and capacity building engagements per year. An annual target is 10. We had a first quarter target of 2, and 5 had been achieved. Number of economic development agreements, and this is basically that has been facilitated with social partners, and it's basically for workplace and national, sectoral workplace and national. We had a target of 10. For the quarter, the target was 1, and 3 had been achieved. Honourable members, I've got employment statistics for the department, and these are basically employment equity statistics. And these statistics are broken down into different levels of members in the employ of the department, as well as broken down into different categories in terms of race. In total, we've got a percentage of 10% of white people, translated or alternatively can be expressed as 11 of 113. For black people, we've got 90%, or it's 101, 102 of 113. We But subsequently, in future quarters, the members will see that this picture will change because we currently have a member in the employ. So in total, we've got a percentage of 43% of males who are in the employ of the department, as well as the total number of employees in the employ of the department are 57% who are females. The next slide is basically a different presentation of what we have presented in the first slide. And basically the ratio for males to females, we've got 57% for females as well as 43% for males. And if you go to the SMS members, 65% are males and 35% are females. The department is still lagging, but it's an area that I know that we will work hard to meet the target.
Chair, if I can come in, I think it's important to indicate that we, if you recall, when we presented the fourth quarter report, we had indicated that we had now employed one person with disability, that person had resigned, but we had also given a commitment to meet the target of two during that period, and that position has now been filled, but it means that we only have one person with disability and the target is two in terms of the ratio. And so we are busy looking at recruiting additional people with disabilities. It's clear that in the senior management team, we need to bring in more women staff, and that is something that we are looking at as we recruit more of staff at that level. Chair, before handing over to the CFO, to deal with the actual financials, I think I can indicate to the committee today that we've made some progress on the recruitment of staff. For the first quarter, the total was 113. We had made 10 appointments during this first quarter period. There were two terminations. One was a resignation and the other one was an expiry of contract. But at the last meeting where we presented our fourth quarter report, the issue of internships was also raised, and we had indicated that we were in the process of interviewing candidates, and I'm pleased to inform the committee that we've appointed 11 interns to the department, and you'll see in the slide we give a breakdown of where they've been placed, what their qualifications are, and what skill and expertise they bring, but working very closely with our branches to give them the necessary training and skills development. I think that we will continuously review our internship program and maybe we'll be able to employ more interns over the next 2 to 3 years. Really, I'm going to hand over to the CFO then to deal with the financial performance to date.
Thanks, Digi. During the first quarter of the financial year, we were basically finalizing the preparation of the annual financial statements, which were forwarded to the Auditor General for auditing, and that process was successfully concluded. I just need to indicate that the report that I'm going to present to the August House
It is based on the information that was declared to National Treasury. These are Section 40 reports, also known as IYMs, which are duly signed by the accounting officer, and they basically contain the budget and expenditure on that budget, as well as revenue collected, as well as included there, it will also be the projected revenue as well as expenditure. The total budget of the department is 673 million, and this includes the transfers and the money that the department spends for its operations. At the end of the first quarter, the department had spent 164 million, or it can easily be translated to 24% of the main appropriation of 673. If we disaggregate transfers and look at the budget that the department spent for its operations, the department had spent 23 million of the 149 million budget, or alternatively, it can be viewed as 15% of the entire budget. Because we are on a modified cash basis of accounting, I think it's proper to also include the commitments that the department had incurred during the period under review. So we basically had a figure of 2.8 million. These are expenses that were incurred, but had not been paid when this report was prepared. So it's only proper to give a total expenditure of commitments so that we do not overstate the budget that is available. The next slide gives a high-level summary of our expenditure presented per program. This is for the first quarter. Also presented per economic classification. I'm going to indicate to the members that excluding the transfers, the budget of the department, 95% of the budget of the department is basically goods and services as well as compensation of employees. And that is quite dependent on the rate of employment. So if we bring more people on board and there are skills available, we will be in a position to spend the budget accordingly. I must also indicate that the department has consistently, in the process of spending, built in and factored in ways of spending economically and eliminating any possible fruitless and wasteful expenditure. So we are quite strict when it comes to how the fiscal is spent. Program one, we have spent 19% of the 60 million budget. Program two, which is economic policy development, we have spent 13% of the 29 million. Economic planning, which includes transfers, and these transfers, honorable members, you will remember that they include transfers to IDC, to CIFA, to competition authorities, as well as ITEC, and we have made the transfers according to the projections that were sent to Treasury. And the expenditure on social development and dialogue is 19% of the 18 million budget. Total spend, as I've indicated, it's 164 of the budget of 672, or 24%, excluding transfers. We have spent 15% of 149 million. And on goods and services and the compensation of employees, we've spent 18% and 15% respectively. I will move to the next slide. What we've also included on the presentation question, honorable members. It is money that the department collects, and this money is basically surrendered to the National Revenue Fund in terms of the finance legislation. This money is made of mainly penalties and fines that are imposed by Competition Commission and confirmed by Competition Tribunal. We also have an investment on IBC, and dividends on annual basis are declared and paid over to EDD. So all this money gets immediately surrendered to National Treasury. Included also on the revenue that the department generates, interest that we generate on money that is in the bank account. We have estimated to collect in the region of 631 million, and by the end of the first quarter we had collected 54 million, or alternatively 9% of the budget. I will hand over to the committee.
Thank you to the CFO. Honorable chair and members, in concluding, going forward, there are some key areas of work that we are involved in. We've just concluded the 2011-2012 audit and annual report process, and I'm sure in the next quarter we will come and report and present the annual report to the committee. The annual reports must be submitted to Parliament by the 30th of September, and we in the final phase of that, the audit has been completed and we will come and report on that. We've also been participating in an intergovernmental team led by National Treasury for the NGEF budget process and planning process. There's been a number of functional committees set up by National Treasury, and departments participate in that to make input into the MTIF budget and requests. We also focusing on the implementation of a recruitment plan. We need to fill a number of positions in order to assist us in carrying out the work of the department, and we also identified measures to ensure improved departmental expenditure. But again, as we've reported previously, Honourable Chair, the main reason for not spending the funding is around staff costs, appointment of staff. And as a department and as the ministry, we've taken a conscious decision that we will only recruit if we find the right people with the right skills and expertise. On policy,
as you explained, I think addressing to the points that we're expecting and so going to engage with the presentations here, if we can maybe entertain questions here, because what you're explaining now, I think, is part of the responses that we're expecting from you.
Okay, I'm concluding. On the policy and implementation, Chen, and this is the last few points that I'm making, we will continue to support the work that is being done by the PICC around the National Infrastructure Plan, around spatial strategy and catalytic projects. The second round of local procurement designations, which is led by the DTI, and in policy development, we want to finalize our inequality discussion paper, and we completing drafts on the financialization, gender and youth and SMMEs, and then we've also finalized proposed amendments to the BBBE Code and Competition Act. Chair, that's the report. Thank you very much for the opportunity, and we happy to engage and take questions and responses, and the team from EDD is here to assist with that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, members, those are our presentations, and can now engage on questions, clarity seeking questions, and also comment to enrich the presentation. Member Hussein, I've seen your hand.
Chair, thank you very much. I have just two or three, four very short questions. The one is, Chair, I recall asking this previously, and I would like to ask it again, and that is, these accords that have been signed over a period of time, have there been some monitoring of the implementation of those accords to the extent that you can now start measuring some of the outcomes? And when do you envisage us to see some kind of a progress report on those accords? The second one, I want to take you to page 3 on the slide 5. You talk there about the support that you provided to NEDLAC on youth employment strategy. And one of the bullet points you talk there about explore subsidies to employment creators and employees. If you could just please expand a little bit on that, and while doing that, just explain how much different is that from the youth wage subsidy that was presented as a proposal by the President and the Minister. Page 5, and on slide number 9, under the one bullet point of the 4.9 billion to 128 companies that was disbursed as a distress fund, I read it as if it has been disbursed to 128 companies. If my understanding of it is correct, how many jobs have been saved through that process? Is there some measurement of that? And then, using those exact figures, I'm somewhat confused. If you could clear up for me, if you jump then to I beg your pardon for a moment, I'm just trying to find the slide. On page 8, the slide 16. There is an amount of 165 million. Now, please withdraw that. I apologize. I will come back to that one. The last one, Chair, is I see there have been a number of interventions that have been made in a number of different sectors, in the furniture and shoe industry. You talked about the folders in terms of local procurement, and all of which are very good initiatives. I don't see anything that has been done, and I'm not suggesting nothing has been done, but if you could provide some information on any interventions the department has made with regards to the clothing and textile industry, given the problems that we have there and the impact that it has had on job losses. Thank you, Jen.
Thank you. Notice,
Mine? Thank you. Thank you very much for the presentation. I have a few quite simple questions. I noticed that on your slide 5, you talk about inputs for a major speech on women and the new growth path. What speech is that, and when and where has it been delivered? Is it, I presume, a policy speech on women in the new growth path? Second point is, we've just been hearing in the news today the Minister in the Presidency for the Planning Commission talk about the spatial problem that we have in this country. is devoted to the spatial planning issue. So what I'll, in the new growth, in the National Development Plan, there is a section on how to go forward on spatial developing. I just think it would be useful for us to have a way of understanding how both these processes are working together, because spatial planning is clearly a big factor in the development of our country and indeed many other African countries. And so it would be useful to know how the two departments are working together on that with land affairs and so on. Now the next slide I want to refer to is 16, where there is clearly a very large underspend in terms of the target for the total value of special financing facilitated for small business in targeted growth sectors. Can we know why it's a tenth of the target? I mean, this would be, I would think, a very important area where expenditure should meet its target. I'd like to know why. And that is so down. And then on the next page, the interventions to save or create new jobs is way above target. Could we have a little bit of an explanation about that too, please? It would seem to me on page on page 22, but actually referred to on rather slide 22 and 21, that we've got a rather too much of a shortfall in terms of expenditure for the first quarter, 15%, if it should be 25% if you're going to reach your target. And you did talk a little bit about how the vacant positions are not filled and so on, and that may be the cause. But there'll be quite a lot of catch-up to do if you're going to spend your full budget or within 5% of your budget if you're only on 15%. Now, so could we have an understanding about those vacant positions or the reason for the under expenditure? Now, the next slide, 23, I find, how do you budget for penalties and fines and forfeits? You know, how do you know how many people are going to be naughty next year and they're going to have to fine them? I mean, it would seem to me that that would be a very difficult budget to meet, because you might find a very clean and good year, or you might find that there's a whole lot of rather bad companies doing bad things that must... I just would like to understand how you budget for fines, penalties and forfeits. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jefferson. Am I next? I think, Jefferson, you didn't see Comrade Coleman's hand because she couldn't tell you. I just want to alert you to that.
Oh, thank you very much. I was not aware.
Yeah.
Sir, you're welcome. And maybe we'll have a conversation after all the questions so that she can come to the full place.
No, you are doing well. You are doing well, Jefferson. You can. A cool disappointed. Chairperson, acting chairperson. Let me correct myself. My first question is on page 2, slide 4. Just very quickly, where you make reference to satisfactory progress on employment creation, if you could just elaborate that with some statistical indications. Secondly, on the third line where you say you need to do more to manage administered input and food prices, how exactly are you proposing to do that? Because that's a very critical element, and it's one of the many sources of the erosion of the living standards of many people in the country. Secondly, on page 3, slide 5, the key initiatives proposed to include public employment schemes, etc. Is the private sector coming on board with this? And I raise this question because we don't hear much of if you're talking of apprenticeships, internships, and so on, not only would the state departments do that, but I would imagine that you are talking a lot with the private sector as well to open up space for that. So that's why I'm asking, is the private sector coming on board? Because they are critical. They are the largest provider of creators of jobs. But it doesn't seem that they are, at this point, they are keen on doing that. The next is on page 5. 426 jobs saved or created at that cost. This should be commended because it suggests to me if one job costs that amount of money, it seems to me you are talking about the recruitment and employment of our skilled young people from higher education institutions and so on, which is promising. But I think also we must get an indication of how many shop floor semi-skilled, unskilled jobs that are being created and saved through these schemes. It would be helpful to hear that. Because it would then tell us that we are taking care also of a whole millions of our unskilled and semi-skilled people who could actually be assisted through this. On page 6, the implementation. That last bullet on the meetings on the North-South Corridor, just at what stage are we in the implementation of the North-South Corridor infrastructure program? But Chair, allow me to comment as well on the second last point where you're talking about South Africa's strategy on BRICS, to say that the assertion that one sees in the media, pronounced by various experts, political commentators, and economy, that South Africa is lacking on its strategic vision for its participation in BRICS is actually untrue. Yes, it is. So those who write about these things must think again, because the Economic Development Department is now saying, yeah, we have a strategy, we have developed a strategy, and we know what we want to achieve by participation in BRICS. The last one, Chairperson, is actually a comment. I look at your ENP targets for 2012 on slide 17. Seems to me that the department is doing reasonably well on that, and I think that needs to be commended. Thank you, Chairperson. But just linked to that, one comment about the persons with disabilities. It would be nice if you were also able to go out to to high schools and higher education institutions, recruit those people, train them, and plug them into your department so that you increase your percentage. I see only one person has been employed so far. Thank you.
Thank you
very much, Comrade Chair. Thanks for the report placed before us. My first question is on slide 7, that the second bullet, the 287084 solar heaters, and it extends to the 50,000. What percentage of those products are South African, and what is imported? And then on the very next slide, the CIFA that has been launched in April 2012, I know that we are still going to get the report on CIFA, but up to now, can you confidently say CIFA is functioning the way we had thought it should function? In other words, if we were using a very slow vehicle to deliver goods, is it that now we have moved into a high geared figure to deliver goods? What is the impact of CIFA? And then the next one is on slide 10. Just to find out who are these social partners, if they could please be just to indicate them individually. And then the meeting on slide 11, the last bullet there, to what degree are those meetings and the objectives of those meetings translating into job creation, and also the skills of Africa versus imported skills? What can we comment on that? And I think it's one that lasts now. On slide 13, where we'll assist the co-ops by supplying raw materials, is this still a plan, or is this something that has been implemented? And if it is, if you could give some details. Slide 14, the local made folders. I think that's a great thing, but if it's not challenging us to say, shouldn't all departments identify where they could also be losing an opportunity of buying local or producing local? On some of these, relatively, if you look at them, you would think it's small items. But if we look at the folders across all the three spheres of government, we may find that we incentivize local production to a very great degree. And then on the people with disabilities,
and the committee chair and say thanks, but we need more. We need oh, the last one. Those companies that have been saved. Do we have a monitoring mechanism to see how alive they are and whether they are now self-generating or maybe they are awaiting to be saved again? Thanks.
Thank you very much, Chair, and one welcomes the report by the department. I'm going to have very brief questions because some of them have already been asked, but the Chair will forgive me if I piggyback on some just to so I can get the clarity I'm seeking. First of all, I just want to find out, in terms of the vacancy rate, what's the vacancy rate in the department? And then I would like to know of the staff complement of the department currently, how many of the staff there is youth? I've noted that there are internships that have been given, which I think can be warmly welcomed. And then on page 7, you touch on the 30-day, which I think is slide number 13, the 30-day payment campaign, where the objective was to sensitize departments to the effects of late payment to service providers and SMMEs. What is the progress on that? I'm noting that you are sensitizing them post the sensitization. What is the progress? Are you seeing an improvement flowing out of that? I'd just like to piggyback on what Honorable Van der Merwe was asking about the projected estimates for penalties and fines. When it's all good and well that you do that, but what are you doing to curb people from actually breaching, you know, codes and so on? Because if you're estimating, what's the proactive step to prevent people and companies and so on from breaking? Then my final question would be on page 9, where the Honourable Van der Merwe also pointed out that so number 2, the number of interventions to save or create new jobs per year, when the annual target was 4, but in the first quarter you already won 14. So you can unpack the nature of those interventions and where they were and so on, and how you plan on ensuring that in those certain sectors where you intervened that you create stability in that, and to, you know, what monitoring evaluation oversight role are you playing in those instances of intervention? Thank you very much, Chair.
Let me add my voice to appreciation of the report from the department. The first one is in slide 3. It's on the development of guidelines for socioeconomic impact assessment system. It seems a very important point, but it doesn't say anything to me as a layman, because truly, if we were to assess that, it will definitely go a long way in addressing a number of things. So I need more information, more explanation, and as to the process, and where are we with regard to those guidelines. The question of the food has been addressed. The question of the slide number 5, draft discussion paper on inequality. Very important paper. Where are we? And with that paper, are we going to get a copy of the paper as a committee? The slide number 6 on homelands. I'm not sure where are we with regard to this. Is it just still at the conceptual or planning stage? Another important one, as we know, that we have a high high number of people that are unemployed, residing in those cheap labor reserves, and the former homeland. Slide number 7. On the solar water, the green, the very first point, the bullet point. Solar water heaters installed in collaboration with the and so on. A wonderful impact. Wonderful. I must congratulate the department on this. And my point is just to congratulate and the chair on that one, and maybe move further just to say, and knowing some of these gadgets, they actually, what their maintenance program that goes with it, because some of them just get broken and so on. Is there a particular and sort of a company that is and maintaining these gizzards and so on and so on, so like it does. The other one is on slide number 9, it's 426 jobs saved, created at that, 165 points. Is there any impact assessment of the value of the money and this huge amount of money, 165, vis-à-vis 426 jobs? Is it really, when you do your own assessment, was it just a case of just dispensing money to save these companies, or are we really making a very strong impact? The other one is slide number 11, participated in preparation for the China-Africa. Are we having any recommendation with regard to that, Chair, on this and the China-Africa cooperation? And because the reason why I'm asking this is because there's so much so much views are expressed on China-Africa that it's a one-sided arrangement and it's determined only by China. And the fear is recolonization of Africa. And therefore we need to be fully on top of the situation with regard to China-Africa. And so that we know exactly where are we with regard to that. We do understand the benefits, but are we at the equal level? The other one is slide number on the agreement between Shuma, the Ujima Bakwena. How many and the people are employed in this call? And for interest sake, I must say again, it's another congratulatory point, because it's something new that has to be supported, starting off the ground. But do we have the full details of how many people are involved in this? And the other one is rather, I think on the question of the ENE with regard to small and medium enterprises, the point has been made, and about some concern to be expressed of the and the lack of meeting the target there, because it's a very important point. It's supposed to be a priority, and therefore for us the intent. I must also appreciate this program on slide 20, Chair. My point that goes with it, how many people, or what is the plan with regard to the interns after they have completed their duration? Are they taken in, or do they actually go out to swell the ranks of the unemployed? And I would imagine that there must be some thinking about getting them maybe inside the department, or maybe in any other department. The last one, the more sensitive one, is on 10%, 90%, because it speaks to the fundamental policy of transformation. My 90% I agree maybe with 10% because it does actually give us an idea. And though that 10% maybe, I don't know what, in terms of percentage, with the kind of SMS and at the senior management level, the 10%, and because we may have an off balance there, but the 90%, I'm saying sensitive, Chair, because you know there's so much talk about it. We're not white enough yesterday, and today we're not black enough. I'm using the crude and the jargon that people use out there. And within that 90%, we have to be sensitive. Maybe I may not need the breakdown of it because it's not a good one, really, to even call for breakdown on such a thing. But I'm just saying that it's an issue that we have to be sensitive on because it speaks to the transformation of the country and the 90% of black. Thank you.
Thank you, Member Akwenyama. Are you regarding to? Okay.
Thank you very much, Chair. I don't think Member Akwenyama needs to feel, jittery about raising this issue. It's the last part of what you, because I have to also here. Because I also wanted to raise issues related to, in terms of your summary of steps in relation to employment equity. FNDG, thank you very much for this presentation. And thank you very much, Chair, for standing in. You are doing a very marvelous job there. I just, in terms of the SMS, it's good to say 65, 35, 12, 22. What is important to me, how many are this, the breakdown of 35% of women, of female employees that are at an SMS level? How many are directors, how many chief directors, how many are DDGs? We need that kind of a breakdown. And also the same question that was asked by Member Ngonyam. I think it will be important that we also get the 10%, how is it distributed, according to what I've just alluded to. There's been some resignation in terms of the staff establishment, and as far as the staff establishment is concerned. Last time, I remember it was the fourth quarter report when we discussed it. We did ask as to whether you do have a questionnaire. You do fill in the exit, questionnaire. And what are the reasons for resignation? So that we can be, and reasons for not renewing some of the contracts, especially coming to what you said earlier on, that you've taken a position that you're not just going to fill a position for the sake of filling a position, which I think is also another statement, a political statement that says, yes, there are people who might be having so-called qualifications, but because they lack experience, they lack certain requirements that you might have put in place, therefore they are not going to be taken. And the question would be, what strategies are you putting in place to ensure that those people are given enough opportunity to gain experience through your other, whether it's learnership or whether it's other means to ensure that they gain that kind of experience? I mean, if you're talking job creation or to be the lead department in terms of job creation, and you are also the lead department in terms of serving people from, getting jobs, what does that mean? I think we are not leading properly, and there's something that's not changing here. We have thousands and thousands of economists here. Economic, maybe we might be lacking economic analysts or so forth, but the fact of the matter, we do have youngsters who are seated. I can give you a list of them. I do have youngsters who have from Mpumalanga, who have BCom degrees. Some have honors, but they don't have jobs. And here we are, a Department of Economic Development, we are saying since 2009 we are not able to fill in particular vacancies because we don't have, we're lacking the relevant expertise, of which really I think is something that we need to contest and begin to really challenge, because I don't think it's enough to say that. We have to be doing something in order to improve that. That's why I just want to be to get those as part of the documents that would be forwarded to us in terms of your exit, whether you do have also the strategy to deal with those that want to exit, you know, the system. Because if a person has signed a 2-year, 3-year contract, it's a valuable experience that is there. And why would you let go of such a person that easily without counter offering that person? And I know of people that started in the department that were so good that I would have felt good if they were retained. And they are not. And among them, there were very good women in there. And perhaps if we can be to be clarified on that. Chair, I'm going to also go to the financial. Well, it's 15%, because the other 9% I cannot say the department has accounted for so far here, because it's just transferred. So when we talk departmental expenditure for the quarter, it's only 15%. 15%, which is 23 million of 149 million. Did you? Something is not okay here. What is it? I mean, of course, compensation of employees does contribute, but when you look at others, I mean goods and services, because I was going to continue to write on the question that was asked around the PICC budget, where is accounted for here, under which program, and when I look at goods and services, where I thought perhaps it will come from, I can see also that there's an acute under expenditure here, there too. So I really don't understand. Other capital I can understand, because it has to do with compensation of employees and so forth, goods and services also, somehow. But really there are certain areas where one would not understand why there's no spending. The second issue around here is, do we have any accruals from 2011? And what were they for? And whether the payment of those accruals, how much are they impacting on the current current budget? Just following on the questions asked around the departmental receipts, yes, we know that there are projections made, of course, compared to some projections that are just made from experience basis. But also it doesn't make sense that you use your base, your experience as your basis for projections. And at the end of the day, you achieve zero. It doesn't make sense. It means there's something wrong on your projections. It's either there was some fact. So I just want to know interest, dividends, and rent on land. What is it? No. I'm talking about something. Financial transactions in assets and liabilities. What's this in relation to, if that can be expatiated further? I also found it, I didn't understand sale of goods and services, because I tried to get on the actual report. Maybe you can refer me to the page where you did the report so that I can get the details of that. Going backwards a bit, you say you're creating jobs at 389,000 jobs. What type of a job is that? What level is that job? I just want to understand. 426 jobs at the cost of 389 per job. Maybe I need further clarity so that I can understand the state this sentence in. Perhaps it will be important that we understand the transfers to IDC for FIFA. Why can't the transfers be transferred directly to FIFA instead of IDC? And we still have questions on what actually informs the establishment of FIFA or creation of FIFA. So that we can understand clearly the relationship, understand properly the relationship between the two. But at this moment, I just want to understand why are we using, because FIFA has its own board. And whereas according to what we hear is that it is accountable to IDC, what does it mean in reality that it's not going to, FIFA is not going to do anything unless acknowledged by IDC. FCDG, you have promised us strategic plan for FIFA. You've been shifting days and shifting days. Today it is not yet tabled in Parliament. Just want you to explain to us why it is not tabled in Parliament. Why is the strategic plan not tabled in Parliament today? Lest we encourage, you know, this perpetual changing of or tendency of really postponing your own targets that you give to us as a portfolio committee. To us, to me personally, it sounds very unprofessional. You can't say I'm going to give you this date. That date passes by. You promise another date, it passes by. Another one passes by. It means there's something wrong in terms of the planning of the department. I've written here in terms of policies, in terms of your slide 11 on African regional economic development or strategic trade policy. I've written it one thing to attend, but it's another to report to us in terms of what you attended that meeting or forum for. Because to tell us that you've attended so many meetings, it doesn't give us anything. We want to know, we want to be to have a clue of what exactly are pertinent issues for discussion at that level. So that you can be able also to engage on those issues. And also understand what are the issues discussed at this forum that you have attended. difference for us. And not just that, but also the outcomes. And if the outcomes demanded an agreement being signed, is that agreement signed on behalf of the country as per Section 132 of the Constitution, where it needs some kind of ratification or approval by Parliament? And at what stage are we as the committee going to be involved in such discussions? I think it's very important that we understand those things. Unlike, you know, reporting to us, telling us, oh, these are the things that we've done, we attended 9 meetings. They are of no relevance to us, because those 9 meetings, we didn't know about them. We want to know what are keeping you busy as the department, so that we can also understand that and be able to follow up, perhaps even assist where possible. Chair, I'm taking much time, I know, but I feel I need to raise some of this question. I've been taking interest on the issues of special planning and development. I think as Comrade Sue has asked, we even went to an extent of requesting the Planning Commission to come and brief the committee, and we're told that they're not really dealing with these issues. But we've since learned that the Department on Rural Development is the one that is just dealing with this. These are all issues of the previous Bantustan integration and also development of those areas. I think we will need to get more information around them, because there are discussions taking place. Some have policy consequences, but the committee has no clue of what is exactly happening, and the department is participating. I think there was one colleague who asked the question, where do we, you know, fit in as this committee in terms of those discussions? At what stage is the department planning to, you know, involve us as the committee? Because some of these papers end up being national papers, but with no actual input or participation from the committee. It is important that we get that, and we get to know our role as the committee as to where can we take part. Chair, I want to thank you. I will end here so that I don't need much of the time, because I have at most of the issues that I wanted to ask. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Indeed, we are not doing very well on time, and I think Member Sobhas indicating that you want to have 2 minutes, maybe even 1 minute.
Yeah,
and she's ready as well, and just a few questions to ask. I think most of them have been alluded to by other members.
Quickly, Chairperson, two issues that we have raised before to the department. I raise them again because we raised them before the acting DG and some other officials came into the department. The first is linked to the question that was raised by Comrade Chairperson, Comrade Coleman, on the fact that there are skills in the country. She called it young men and women who have qualifications in economics and accounting and so on. We raised the issue before, last year, that was raised in a joint meeting with the Department of Labor, that Department of Labor has a skills data. All of our people are skilled.
and what employers, particularly in the private sector, do. They go there and request particular skills. Once they are given, they go to Home Affairs with a letter from the Department of Labor to say, we have been authorized by the Department of Labor to find skills outside the country because we don't have them in the country. And then they employ people from outside and leave our skilled people here unemployed. We raise that issue in the department. I want to revive that question because this department, among other major tasks that it has been given, is that of job creation. And if job creation doesn't start with our own people, our own skilled people, but jumps to outside, it's a problem. And I think this department has a responsibility to follow up on that issue, to raise this issue with the public sector, to raise this issue with the two departments, so that charity does begin at home indeed, so far as job creation is concerned. The second last issue, Chairperson, is linked to what Honorable Bonyama raised on slide 3, relating to homelands. We raised this issue again last year, that there are a number of industries that closed down in the former homelands, all of them. And when we talk about reviving or creating industries and employing people in the former homelands, we must then have a two-pronged strategy linked to each other. That of creating new industries and reviving the old industries where it is possible. Because there are resources lying unused there, land, buildings, machines, and other things, and skills of people who were retrenched as a result of the closing down of those industries. We have given examples of those, and we can go on giving those examples. Thank you, Chairperson.
I'll try to be brief as well. Like I was just made us aware that you are not really doing well on time. My question is on slide 9. About the displacement to 8 companies, if we can get a profile of these companies so we can assess how far is the displacement from the transformation policy. The other one on slide 12, that is page 6, about the social dialogue, how do we measure the impact of the social dialogue so that they are not seen as one of those talk shops or maybe perceived as one. And on the engagement with the South African Council of Churches, I'm not sure to what extent we engage on issues of land, because many churches, especially so-called main churches, mainland churches, have a vast piece of land, and as government, we talk about the scarcity of land. How will they contribute to that? And on page 7, again, how are we going to incentivize, you know, to avoid the promotion of mediocrity and also inefficiencies, you know, given the dominance of Chinese in various, you know, sectors. I think it's almost all sectors, they are just all over. And Mema Ngonyama is saying something scary about I've been colonized again. It's quite scary, but at some stage you have to face the realities of the situation. And slide 17, on the target, the number of interventions to save or create new jobs per year is this target of 14 is not too low. And how to come to this figure? It's not too low in terms of what we create in terms of job creation and saving of jobs. And the last one, slide 20 on page 10, about the interns. Can we get information as to which universities are they being recruited from, and also a breakdown in terms of race? an issue of transmission policy as well. I'm aware at least they've done something about the gender issue, so that they're able to balance. And on that last one, I'll just maybe use this little comment chair to say, I'm not sure if we'll have a second round of questions depending on the responses that we're going to have as a follow-up, but that will depend on the chair when she comes back to sit here. And before we break for tea, I'm told it's ready. Yeah. Welcome, you members, Tole. I think not the first time that you come to our meetings. Thanks for appreciating us your interest in this committee. Maybe next time, Chair, member will ask to be one of us here. You are welcome. And, Chair, let me just end up here as I keep on reminding ourselves about the time. But at least I've been given the opportunity to have a feeling of Mangao.